Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, as many of us know, every now and then should take a good break from the action and step back and reflect on what should I do with the rest of my life. And it's a pleasure, as always, to welcome the author of that very book, Bruce Frankl, based in New York. How are you this morning, Bruce?
I'm great, Zara. How are you?
I couldn't be better, although I know we've traded emails back and forth about you stretching out your back, trying to play Hercules and lift a couch for your son.
Yeah, mistake,
although those kind of things ground us in more ways. And in fact, I know one of the voices in your head might have been, what are you trying to do, that old guy, or something in that whole age space. And I know that was one of the things that prompted our saying, now this is a really hot topic. It's this whole language of aging.
That's correct. It's the language of aging. Well, and indeed, of course, I did initially have those thoughts, and then I refuted them by looking at all the super athletes
right.
who've been injured in the last couple of weeks, and thought to myself, this isn't about age. This is just about stupidity on my part.
or you're running in good company, right?
Exactly. But, you know, the issue of the language we use, is really important, and it's also there's something of a debate going on around us, and it's showing up in a lot of places, including the New York Times and Huffington Post, and in the senior centers around the country as well. So if I could, you know, step back a little and just say that there was a post in the New York Times by Judith Graham recently, in which she explained how she had the name of the blog that they used to write about issues of older adults in the New York Times is called The New Old Age, and mm-hmm. she had written Ann Fishman and asked, who's a marketing consultant for generational marketing, and to ask her, she was actually just calling, what should we call, how should we refer to people mm-hmm. who are over 65? And Fishman immediately shot back at her, you know, have you thought about changing the name of your blog
even? Oh my, yeah.
You know, that basically Fishman advised, you know, don't worry about calling older adults anything. You know, talk about their interests and values. Don't talk about them as a group like that. At the same time, Carol Osborne, who's also a consultant to major brands like Ford and Haynes and Prudential, and is the CEO of a company called Fierce with Age, also posted a piece in which she noted that AARP had recently featured Diane Keaton over a headline, How She Stays Young Forever, and she observed that, you know, even AARP was not immune from beaming into our consciousness the idea that young is good and
exactly.
old is bad.
Mm-hmm. And problematic and troublesome. And then, of course, we have other situations where when you're a younger professional, you're working so hard to be older than you really are from an age standpoint. So there must be this kind of collision point in time. And I think that collision point has shifted dramatically, of course, and you and I have talked about this, with longevity in front of us and being much more mindful about our health and so on, that who knows what that point of flip is, and in some ways we play it to our advantage depending on the context where we are.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably true. I think that people really, I just think increasingly I think it's a mistake to kind of think of ourselves in age brackets, mm-hmm. in part because of what it does to us to think that way, but also because the world is changing and the demography of the world is changing so radically that such a large portion of the world is going to be 50 and over. You know, by 2025, one-fifth of every American will be 65 and over. But across the world, that's even more true. And, you know, when you start to think about 50-plus, you're really almost talking, you know, you're getting up around 40% of the world. It's hard to lump everyone together that way.
Well, and I have to smile, just even whether we say 60 or 65, we've got a dear friend that my husband supports, a very talented artist. He published his book, my husband did, a year and a half ago, which has put Bill on this incredible spurt of really profound painting, to the point he's painting now five paintings at least a month that's played out. And mind you, he's 85. And there's no way, actually, visually, you would probably think he's 85, but he certainly mentally is nowhere there. And in fact, every now and then we hear him say, you know, I just hate being around old people, which makes us chuckle, but it's a telling sign.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I certainly feel, you know, there were lots of people in my book who I felt, you know, also convinced me that age is not a limit in itself. It doesn't limit or enable us in itself, and really we decide. But I think that comment that he made, is I hate being around old people, I think that's one of those things that we need to flag in our head and when we hear it and avoid saying it, because it really is also part of the problem. That my mother does that too occasionally, you know. I think that, you know, we have to be careful of how we infect others with this idea that age isn't good. I mean, Robert Butler, who really began thinking about ageism, coined the term 35 years ago.
35 years ago, yeah.
Really brought us to understand and to see how, you know, prevalent the notion of ageism is in our culture and how destructive it can be. And, you know, in many ways, there's this leading researcher, Becca Levy at Yale, who has done some incredible studies on the effects of both stereotypes and language on aging. She did a study of 60 to 92-year-olds who watch TV, and she found that the more television that people watched, the more negative views of aging they had. But what she's also learned in her studies is that the more negative view you have of aging, the worse your likelihood of living longer is. If you have a positive view of aging, in a study she did a few years before that in Oxford, Ohio, of 660 people, she found that those who viewed aging as a positive experience lived 7.5 years longer. Mm-hmm. That means that the image, having a positive image, has a greater impact than not smoking or maintaining a healthy weight. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah, that's
just image that matters.
Yeah, and that is a really profound statement, this whole mind over matter situation. And also, as you talk about in your book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? And it wasn't just the 12 people you featured there, but the hundreds you've interacted with to write that book. And then since that time, the amazing, different, unique, and inspiring things they've chosen to do.
Yep. And continue to do
and
that.
And continue to.
You know, they continue to do, and I continue to meet people who do, you know, do amazing things. And it's also a barrier, this idea of how we view age. It tends to be a barrier, and a bad one right now, for people who've lost positions over the last since 2008, since the recession, or 50 plus and looking for jobs, or people who are looking to re-enter the job market because they now need to make money that they didn't think they'd have to make. And I was talking with Jim Emmerman of Civic Ventures the other day, and they recently did a study in which they did it in 2009 and 2010 of baby boomers, and they found that overwhelmingly 90 to 95% of baby boomers want to find opportunities to give back. Mm-hmm. But there is a problem that's occurring, which is that the opportunities are not always there. And part of that is that companies and corporations have yet to really understand, or they haven't overcome their stereotypes of people who are older, and so one of the great things ahead of us is figuring out how to help companies and corporations to understand and adapt, nonprofits as well as profits,
sure,
to
exactly.
adapt to the realities of what we're facing.
Sure, and like we've said all along, some people would make it so quick to say you're as young as you feel, but it's also you're as young as you be in terms of what you choose to surround yourself, spend your time with, and strive for. And, I mean, the countless stories of people who've started new businesses, over the age of 55. I can name one person in particular, my father, who at 85 is still running his business. And, by the way, that's why he's 85. It's because he's been running a business. So there's that feeding back and forth. Well, there's been a lot of responses on the wire then to this whole discourse around aging. You mentioned John from Civic Ventures, and I know Carol Greenfield, I think, is a person that I recall reading. She's the founder of Discovering What's Next, I think, in Boston.
Correct. And Carol, I spoke to Carol the other day. I started calling people up and asking them, what they call older adults. And, she said they never say seniors anymore. Mm-hmm. And she also was the one who pointed out to me that senior centers around the country are struggling with what to call themselves, because using the word seniors tends to knock out a part of the population they'd like to serve. People who are young boomers, for instance, don't want to join the place that says seniors. They avoid it. So, Carol says that for a while they were thinking of trying to come up with a word like nexters, and they couldn't quite do that. But, she points out the absurdity of lumping everyone who's 50 to 100 in one
category,
under
sure.
one term.
Yeah.
And Dick Goldberg, who's the director of a national network called Coming of Age, I called him and was talking to him, and he said, he really doesn't mind older adults, and he's fine with seniors, and he thinks, in fact, that we ought to celebrate seniors and reclaim the word and be proud of it, and say, I'm glad I'm old. I celebrate being old. It's good to be old. Stop hiding from it, that seniors are survivors, and they have wisdom, and they have profound understanding of things and skills and knowledge, and it's he's all for shattering the myth of the youth culture,
which is of course, it's one thing for us to say it in our own community, but we get reinforced so much through the marketing, advertising, product spinning that surrounds us all the time.
Yeah, and as I said, as we saw in Becca Levy's study, through television and stereotypes that are activated, one of the things that in Levy's study that was so fascinating, she looked across cultures, and she found that they've studied Chinese within the United States, and compared with mainstream Americans, Chinese Americans have a much more positive stereotype of aging, and deaf Americans have the second most positive, whereas mainstream Americans have the most negative because they watch the most TV. And so it's fascinating. One of the reasons why deaf Americans apparently fare better is because they're not exposed to the everyday negative portrayals in quite the same way on radio and television that mainstream Americans are. I just found that utterly fascinating.
Boy, that's a telling sign, though, about us needing to control or really think about the messages we allow in our head. But I think the flip of that, which are a lot of what your message is, then it's what kind of messages are we generating inside of our own head to reinforce things?
Yeah, I mean, that's really true. And so we do have to monitor ourselves a bit. I mean, I think it's, you know, a lot of people object. In England, I know they've done away with the term elderly to a large degree. A lot of people associate it with physical disabilities and social agencies that care for older adults. I don't have that strong of objection to it. And I know that some people just avoid these words but they avoid them largely, I think, because of all these images that they've stockpiled. Dr. John Rowe, who was chairman of the MacArthur Foundation Research Network on Aging Society, and really one of the pioneer thinkers, said that, you know, we tend to view the elderly as a demographic group, and that that he says old. He uses the term older person, but he prefers the term senior. And a bunch of people, you know, on the blog at New Old Age at New York Times, I looked before we went on air to see how many responses that the blog has now gotten. In like a week, they've gotten 280 responses from people writing in, which is really amazing.
Yeah, which really, it shows it's a hot topic and it's a sensitive one, and probably there's not a whole lot of answers yet to be made, but rather just raising our consciousness around it is so important.
Yeah, and you know, again, to me, it goes so much to this point of the way in which our that we have to change our viewpoint, because we need to not only engage older adults in the workplace and in the nonprofits. You know, we need to they need to become part of the workforce in a way that no one ever imagined 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for their own well-being, it's for the well-being of the country as a whole, because the next generation simply cannot support the economy by itself. It's going to need the expertise and the abilities of the boomer generation.
And also the institutional wisdom, the lessons learned, the knowledge base, because this whole idea of tacit knowledge, you know, I'll go to the computer and do a search on, you know, electromagnetic, you know, waves, whatever, you name it,
right,
being the engineer that I am. But it's one thing to read the definition, look at the charts and the schematic. It's quite another thing to go to the laboratory and know what's tacitly there as opposed to what is explicitly explained. And that comes with experience. And
yep,
every organization feels that, whether that be church-based organizations or, as you say, for-profit, or even the public service area and the governmental area. Well, I know you had a very cute conversation with also a mutual friend of ours now, Jim Coonan, who wrote the book Diary of a Company Man that we hosted here recently, and share with our listeners his response to your question of what is this?
Well, Jim posted, I wrote on a group site that I belong to about this issue, and Jim posted, I call us geezers. I'm an enthusiastic participant in burgeoning geezer industry, offering encouragement and advice to geezers like me. We're geezers, get used to it. So I responded to Jim, actually, to say I'd call him a geezer if he wanted me to, but, you know, and I know it works well for Grandpa Simpson on the Simpsons TV show, but we shouldn't really use it, because it dates to 19th century dialectical English, where the word was geyser, meaning one who dresses up in costume or weirdly as for Halloween. And it was, you know, you were thought of as a weirdo.
Exactly. Well, and on top of that, as a woman, I don't want to be called a geezerina. So there you go.
You don't want to be called a geezer. Well, I said that I would rethink this if I was called a geezer.
There we go.
Spelled G-E-E-T-S-A-R.
Very good. I
would consider that.
Very good. Well, Bruce Frankel, thanks for the provocative thoughts. What should I do with the rest of my life? BruceFrankel.com for our listeners. We'll catch you next month. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsengroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.